The topic, the title is, If Love Is All There Is, What's With the Rest of All This Crap? And so my life has been a whirlwind, actually, and I don't expect it to slow down until about February. And there's just so much happening, and there's just so much going on. I feel a bit underprepared for the talk. But on the other hand, I have to believe that it's probably exactly what I need to say. So, because, you know, that's the way the universe works. So if love is all there is, what's with the rest of all this crap? And I often say at the end of a talk, love is all there is and the rest we make up. I got that from Reverend Patrick Pollard when I lived in Albuquerque long, long time ago, like back in 1995. And he used to say it at the end of every talk, love is all there is and the rest we make up. And this was before the mergers for the Centers for Spiritual Living. But it stuck with me, obviously, because I still use it as an ending to some of my talks. But what does it really mean? And what's the paradox that's involved with that statement? I say it, I love you, right? People say it to me, love you, Kate, or I really love you, Kate, that kind of thing. But again, what does that really mean? Love is both a feeling and a concept. And we all have different love for different people and different things. Like, I certainly don't L-U-V love Vladimir Putin, right? I don't, you know, that L-U-V thing from the 60s. But there are authors that I love. I love women's sports. I love really, really good food. I love all of you, but I certainly don't love you the same way that I used to love some former partners in my life. So what does it mean when we say this super all coverage love? That's kind of been on my mind. And so again, if love is all there is, what's with the rest of the crap that we don't make up, but that we end up experiencing and responding to almost every day sometimes? And as I've been wondering about this, a lot of things have come into my mind, but mostly my mind has been wandering. And then I have to remind myself that all who wander are not lost, right? We all know that phrase. But I do wonder about the wars that are going on in the rest of the world, and I wonder about the divisiveness within our own country and our politics. And I wonder about our personal losses, the things that happen to us that we have absolutely no control over, things that we do not love that happen to us, things that challenge us to our core, things that happen while we make an effort to move forward in our lives and to become better people and to do good things. This title for this talk, I've been thinking about it for a while, came to me a while back, and I mentioned it to a friend of mine, and we were both like, oh, that's a really good title. You can come at it from so many different ways. But then about a week after the title came up for me, my oldest and closest friend died. And I've thought about this topic in a completely different way. My history with my friend Mary was complex and intimate and loving, and it's left a void. And on this point, Joel Goldsmith says, love is less an aspect of a relationship and more an event of the soul. I like that because somehow it eases that physical loss that I'm experiencing. Now, I do know all about death and dying, and, well, obviously not all, because I'm still standing. Yeah. There is that. Yeah. But, but I know that it takes time. And when we experience the loss of someone, and I know that Mary is still with me in spirit, and I know about the grief process. I've been through it like many of us have many times before. And but this one has inspired me to reach deeper into myself and less to the external world for what I feel like I'm seeking for comfort or peace. And so what is it that I'm really trying to say today? I think what I'm trying to say is that when this crap comes into our lives, it might be difficult to see the good of our world at that moment. And we know that it is. But I believe that over the course of my life, which hasn't always been the easiest, and all the crap that I've experienced, it isn't really all crap. In fact, most of it, has been an opportunity for me. And when I look back, I can't say I'm always grateful for those opportunities, but I can see how I've progressed in my life. So crap can be an opportunity to grow, or even more, it can be what we call a crack in our universe that can put us in touch with pure creativity. And this crack in our universal world can allow us to see our abilities and our talents when we may not have been able to see them in our grief. It can allow us to confront our fears, and it can motivate us to move into who and what we are becoming. We only need to make that choice and then start moving in the direction to which we are being guided or prompted. And so it's an opportunity to remove denial. And it's that denial that keeps us from developing our new skills. And it's an opportunity to conquer that limitation that we create in our minds. And it's an opportunity to know that all goals are possible. All goals are possible. We are never, never as limited or as alone as we believe ourselves to be at times in our lives. And we all have fears that do not surface to denial. These fears can be the crap that is handled through love. I don't think we make up all the crap. Sometimes we do when we let our fears get the best of us and we react or behave selfishly, seeking only to protect who we are. But the point is the same. The goal is to look beyond the physical illusion of behaviors and circumstances that are exhibited by us and others when we believe that we have limitations. So, as I noted at the beginning of my talk, my life is full of change these days, and actually it's full of endings. And I'm not quite to the beginning and the becoming stages. And as some of you might already know here, I'm getting ready to retire. So every time I give a lecture or facilitate an activity, I'm thinking, this is the last time I'm going to do that. This is the last time I'll be working with students in this way. And I probably will never teach these classes again. I don't really want to. And at the same time, I'm like, wow, I've been doing this for so long. I look around my office, and as I'm packing up, and I've been in this office a long time, so there's a lot of crap in it. And I will never be in that position again. And I wonder sometimes, I know I have a PhD and it's a terminal degree and, you know, I'll never be cured of it. But if I'm not teaching, who's going to call me Dr. Grayson? You know, in the grocery store, I hear it all the time at restaurants of Dr. Grayson. And what happens to that piece of your identity when you make these other choices? I'm also moving to Weaverville from Canton, and I know that as I pack up my house and prepare to move, my life will change again, and it will be different. And all of these types of experiences are deaths, more change that is happening. And I know that the death of my friend, a woman who loved me unconditionally for over 40 years, will not be there to pick up the phone to ever reassure me again. All of us have had these types of endings in our lives. And this sadness, this longing for the familiar, for longing for the comfort of routine, we long to let go of the crap we have no control over and that infiltrates our lives, causing discord, anger, and sadness. There are times when life can rock us to our very core. It can bring us to our knees. It can humble us. It can shame us. Life can scare us. Yet I have to believe that it is the death of our ego and fear that is the first step to seeking the ability to live our lives fully. And at times like this, I frequently turn to Emma Curtis Hopkins, who wrote in her book, High Mysticism, to transcend limitations, look beyond them. We tend to believe what we look toward, what we look at. When we look beyond appearances, we can see the truth. She also stated, do not be deceived by your imagination. Live by principle instead. As we reason principle, we soon learn to know that the meaning of life is that the things we are, is that beyond the meaning of life, that we will know the exact reason for the things we need to do, and we will know exactly how to do them. I also know that when we accept that paradoxical circle of life, that we allow ourselves the possibilities that change can have greater things in store for us. When we have faith, that crack in the universe expands to engage us and to allow us to welcome the new possibilities in our lives. And from Sufism, we are told that love is not an action, it is a state of mind. And Ernest Holmes wrote, we cannot enter into peace while we are in a state of confusion. It cannot be done. We cannot manifest love when we have a mental equivalent of hate in our hearts and minds. More importantly, Ernest Holmes said, have enthusiasm, and above all, have a consciousness of love. A radiant feeling flowing through your consciousness at all times. The point is, and I want to end with this today, is not all there is and the rest we make up. Instead, I want to read a statement by Nedra Tawab, my dear friend Bonnie Smith, posted on Facebook a while back. And she said, love is not all you need. You need mutual respect. You need support. You need trust. You need to have boundaries. You need people to be there when it matters. You need space to grow and acceptance from people. When you do grow and change, you need people to show their love to you in a way that you can understand. So today I leave you urging all of us to be present with one another, to love, respect, and support each other. And not only you here, but everyone you come in contact with. Love, respect, and support. Look past the facade of difference that we are being presented with. It's up to us to see through the crap and to still act. It's up to us, as Marianne Williamson said, to be so authentically true it will drown out the voices calling for separation and division. And finally, remember Maya Angelou, who stated, love is that condition in the human spirit so profound that it empowers us to develop courage, to trust that courage and build bridges with it, and then to trust those bridges and cross over them so we can attempt to reach each other. Please take a risk. Recognize the crap for what it is. It's fear and ego. Build a bridge. Love is all there is. And the rest is just crap. So thank you.